2 hours from here, northeast, I guess, you'll find a rather simple grave. And it belongs to Sergeant Alvin York. And it's got a list of the medals that he won, the Croix de Guerre and the Medal of Honor. But underneath it, he wanted to put a verse of Scripture. And we're going to use that verse of Scripture this morning in our, as our text. So if you will turn with me, if we're looking at that stone this morning, we would see Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. And let me say this, Connie Sue and I did not talk about the music today, did we, Becky? No, we didn't. God's funny like that. And you'll see in a minute what I mean. Proverbs 14, beginning in verse 34. Or I should say verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We'll say that again. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In 1813, General John Stricker and Commodore Joshua Barney needed flags to fly over a place called Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor. And what they did is they went to the most famous flag maker in Baltimore at the time. Baltimore was a seaport. As a seaport in that day, the flags were very important. They not only marked your ship as to who you belonged to, but signal flags were used often between ships to communicate. And there was probably one of the most famous flag makers in the area was selected to make two large flags. The larger of the two would be called the Great Garrison Flag, and the smaller one would be called the Storm Flag. It would be flown during bad weather and at night. And this was designed to fly over, of course, Fort McHenry. I read this, and I thought it was interesting. Mary Pickersgill stitched the flag. Now, this was stitched by hand from a combination of cotton and dyed English wool bunting, assisted by her daughter, two nieces, and an African-American indentured servant. The flag has 15 horizontal red and white stripes, as well as 15 white stars in the blue field. Now, I want you to get the measurement of this flag. The flag originally measured 30 by 42 feet. That's 1,260 square feet. I laid that out, including my house. That's bigger than my house. That's big. It's interesting that each of the stripes was 2 feet wide and each of the stars were 2 feet across. And the flag was hoisted up the pole on purpose as a taunt to the British. I thought it was fitting that they had used English wool to make the red stripes of the very flag that would fly over Fort McHenry. And what was happening, the British, of course, this was during what was later called the War of 1812, they were coming in Baltimore to take over Baltimore Harbor. But to do so, they had to sail past Fort McHenry. So what they decided to do for 25 hours in the rain, they bombarded Fort McHenry with every gun. 19 ships in the British fleet opened up on Fort McHenry to pulverize it. On board one of those smaller ships was a man who was part of a peace delegation, Francis Scott Key, who witnessed this. And there were no lights in the city. There were no lights in the fort. The only light they had was when the bombs would burst in the air. These cannon shells set on a fuse, which was stuffed into a hard ball full of powder, would go. And the fuses were timed. As they burned down, they hit the middle and explode. That was the only light. So through the night, he stood and watched as that flag was waving. And then you know what happens. The rest is history. He wrote down a poem. Now, the poem was not called The Star-Spangled Banner. As a matter of fact, it was basically called The Defense of Fort McHenry. But that didn't really ring, did it? And it's originally, as Connie has said, there were at least four stanzas. We know the first one, which we sang the best. But what a lot of people don't realize is that in that verse, there's a very penetrating question, which is not just for 1814. You see, what Francis Scott Key wanted to know was the flag still there. Because you see, in that day, when the flag went down, it meant you surrendered, you'd given up. And so when the dawn came and he saw that battle scar flag that is as big, if you laid it down, how many of you ever been to the Smithsonian in Washington? When you walk in to the main museum, hanging up from the ceiling is an American flag. That's it. Only it's 14 feet shorter now, because after the war, the flag became so famous that people cut off pieces of it as souvenirs. And finally, they had to pull it away and hide it to keep people from chopping it up. So now it's about 30 feet by 30 feet. They lost 12 feet for souvenirs. But you can see it today. What's more fascinating is the story. The fact that he asked in the first stanza a very penetrating question about America. And I want you to get it. The question says, "Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave?" Francis Scott Key's question in the morning is, "Fellas, do you still see the flag?" And the question we have from that song today is, "Do you still see the flag? Is it still flying?" Yes, it is. But there's some realities we've got to look at about our country, the conditions around us, the challenge among us, and the call upon us. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I bow before you. I thank you for the honor of being born in this country. God, it does not make me better than anyone else, but it certainly makes me better off than most of the world. God, it doesn't make me above anyone else, but I do know, God, that our lifestyles, even among what we call the poorest of the poor in our country, is so far above many of the folks in the world today. But God, spiritually, we are in a nation headed for hell like a rock through a spider web. We are in danger, Father, of judgment and failure and cataclysmic judgment because of our failures, Lord. And God, it's because we've failed you as your people. Now, God, I want to live for you, and these folks do too. They're here because they want to hear from you, and I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I want to be a blessing. God, would you use this to do that? And God, plant a seed in our heart and help us to make a difference. Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. When I look at America today, the first thing I like to look at is the conditions around us. Regardless of what you say, we are blessed in this country. Guatemala team, are we blessed in this country? Would you agree with me if I said that we're spoiled in this country? All of them are nodding. You can't hear. You got to say amen. They can't hear your head rattling. Amen. All right. Yeah, they agree. If you ever go. Now, do I want you to be ashamed of that? No. But I want you to quit whining and complaining. Because we are blessed above every nation on this planet. But you got to understand that God blessed us not because you're more favored than that child in Africa or in Haiti or in Guatemala. You're blessed to be a blessing. You have been blessed to bless others. So I don't want you to feel guilty about the great prosperity that God has put upon our nation. But I also want to be honest with you. We are in a place of great darkness. I'm going to make a statement and I want you to hear me carefully. We are living in one of the darkest counties in Tennessee. Some of you are nodding. Some of you are just there. I want you to hear me. I pulled up statistics from the TBI. And the first thing that popped up as far as what is the biggest issue facing us, it was sexual trafficking, mainly among minors. There were four counties out of 95 in Tennessee that are the worst of the worst. Shelby, that's Memphis. Davidson, where's that?
Nashville.
Knox, where's that? And Coffee. Out of 95 counties, we are up there as a county of perversion, corruption, and evil. Don't tell me we don't need Jesus in Coffee County. I'm telling you that's what we need. Now, am I for fighting sexual trafficking, sex trafficking? Absolutely. But you can fight it with your fist, you can fight it with your heart, you can fight it with your wallet, but you're not going to fix it without Jesus. Our county needs Jesus. All 95 counties in Tennessee need Jesus, amen? But I'm just going to tell you, I don't live in them. I live in this one. And when I looked at those figures, I backed up. I went, whoa. And I looked at them again to make sure, Chris, I had the right thing. You know what I'm saying? And it was. I looked at another place in a different page. It said the exact same thing. I'm trying to be as kind as I can, but there comes a point when kindness has got to be held back. You know, the doctor in his bedside manner, it's probably a good idea that he doesn't just walk in the room, look at you, and say, you're going to die. But I'm here to tell you, if we don't turn around in this county, we are going to die. We are on the road to hell, fast lane it, 24, 41, and every road in between, we are headed to hell like a rock through a spider web, and there's only one thing that will fix it. His name is Jesus. So when I look at the conditions around us, I'm not spouting off a bunch of formulas that are happening in Knoxville and happening in Memphis. I'm talking about Manchester, Tullahoma, Hillsboro, Beech Grove, Tennessee. It's going on now. And now get this. Drugs are right with it. And I want you to understand how. The question of an investigator from Sevier County, and here's what he said when it came to sex trafficking, and it's happening here too. Listen to what he said. My experience is based on parents or guardians of minor children offering up their children in exchange for drugs or payment for drug debts. Right here. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to get on my face and ask God to forgive me for not doing more to reach others right here in my county. God help us. When the world points its fingers at us and calls us hypocrites. God help us when the world points its fingers at us and says we don't care. Do you care? We got children here and there are blessed from the Lord. You want any of them sold into sex trafficking? You want any of them kidnapped and taken off and put in that trade? Neither do I. But I'm here to tell you we're number 4 in the state. You better wake up and understand that you and I are surrounded by great darkness and it's no time to surrender. You see, this has got Satan's fingerprints all over it. Satan, for some reason, he picks certain geographic areas in which he does some of his worst stuff. And for some reason, he's picked Coffee County, a county that is full of churches. We got so many churches, you can't hardly get away from them. And yet we're half our county or more is dying and going to hell without Jesus, and we're full of churches. You know why? We need people full of Jesus. Got enough churches, we need some Christianity, not churchianity. What do you have? What do you have this morning? I'm glad we have other churches preaching the word out there, but this morning my concern is not with them. They've got their shepherds. They've got to do their thing. My concern is with you and your family and your children. You say, well, I love my children. That's not the question. The question is, do you love them enough to live for Jesus no matter what it costs you? Do you love them enough to be the Christian you're supposed to be? He said, stop, preacher. What's this got to do with me? It's got everything to do with us. We have sat back on our do-nothing and let our county go to hell like a rock through a spider web. I would love to have the statistics, but I would almost guarantee you, and one of you can look it up and let me know, but I almost, don't do it now, but I can almost bet you that when we invited Bonnaroo in, we opened the door to hell. Don't think so? I don't believe we were on the list before that. And now, all of a sudden, this drug epidemic, meth, opiates, prescription drugs, is destroying this county. You think that's accidental? Everybody welcomes Bonnaroo in with open arms and thinks that's the Savior that's going to save the county. God help us! Bonnaroo didn't die on the cross, and Bonnaroo didn't pay the price for your soul's salvation. Jesus Christ did. But you won't fix it by getting rid of Bonnaroo, because we need Jesus. And I'll tell you this much. If you could get Christian folks, church folks, out of Bonnaroo, you could probably shut it down, but you probably won't do that. They'll post on Facebook right in the middle of Bonnaroo how wonderful it is. I'll tell you, it's a pit of hell. Oh, they may have great music. Get a CD player. My gracious, and people bringing their children out there, the smell of dope so heavy. I had one of my high school teenagers, when I was teaching a Sunday school class, tell me that you could just walk through the place and get a contact buzz because the grass and weed was so thick in the air, and the hashish, it was so thick. And law enforcement walking through the middle of it, as long as they keep it in the fence. Well, it didn't stay in the fence. It left the fence and came to our streets, and the hollers of Beach Grove, and it's taking children out and ruining their lives and selling them like pieces of dirt. Connie Sue works for DCS. Ask a DCS worker what meth is doing to our county. And if you don't think a meth head will sell their children, you are sadly mistaken. Sin will take you further than you intended to stay and keep you longer than you intended to stay and cost you a whole much more than you thought you'd pay. And it's happening here. It's not off in Nashville. It's here. Oh, we wanted to be like everybody else, didn't we? Well, we've sure grown up now. We opened the gate of hell, invited it into our county, and now we're surprised that the bills are coming due. Everybody, after how many ever years it's been here, still shaking their head going, where's the money? Where's the money? Don't ever forget this. All Satan's apples have worms in them. All of them. First time I heard an ichiku, I smelled sulfur. And I'm not talking about bad water. I'm talking about Satan. It's not the music itself. It's not even the venue itself. It's a piece of dirt. It's what has been allowed to be pulled in here in the name of money and allowed to go on, and church folks and law enforcement kind of looking the other way until it gets so bad you can't. It would have never got that bad if we just said, no. We ain't Nashville. We ain't Knoxville. We ain't Memphis. We are now. Now, it may have nothing to do with Bonnaroo, but it's got everything to do with this. Men's hearts are desperately wicked. We need Jesus to come in. You could fight Bonnaroo, it won't fix it. You could fight every false cult that knocks on the door in Coffee County, you won't fix it. What we need is truth. Jesus said the truth will make you free. And when God's people have had enough of it and they finally wake up and realize, what's it going to take? One of your children? God help. I will guarantee you there are people in this room right here who would die, and I'm one of them defending your children. I'm glad that we live in a country that's gone far from where it was when I was a kid, but it hadn't gone too far yet. It's as though God has given us a little space of time, and I'm not talking about who's in the White House. I'm talking about who's in the big house up in heaven. He's given us a little bit of time. And in that time, He wants us to reach as many men, women, boys, and girls as we can. Man, as many as we can. With shoeboxes. On the mission field. National Rescue Mission. Blue Monarch that helps some of these women that are strung out on these drugs to get their lives back together when the devil's made a wreck of them. You see, God specializes in taking the ruin and making something beautiful out of it. We need to get that message out. God help us, we need to get that message out. I will challenge you this, and those of you that are on Facebook, I challenge you to do this. Ask God to help you to start using it to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm not saying you're evil and bad if you don't. I'm just saying, why don't you? Why don't you? How many, say amen if Jesus has been good to you.
Amen.
Then why not tell others? You don't have to beat them to death with the King James Bible every time you turn around on Facebook. Yeah, there's stuff on there that's funny, that's good to listen to. I mean, crazy to watch. There's some crazy people on that thing. You know what I've learned by watching Facebook? I do not want to drive in Russia. And you know what I'm talking about, you Facebookers, you know what I'm talking about. They're people crazy. And you thought Nashville was bad in the rain? They're people crazy. So I've learned a lot from Facebook. But you know what I've also learned? There's some messed up people in this world. And the only thing that's going to fix them is Jesus. It's the only thing that fixed me. It's the only thing that fixed you. Jesus. So why do we think in Coffee County we need something different? We don't. We need to determine as God's children we are going to live for Him. We're going to let our light shine. We're going to make a difference. And by the way, making your light shine is not painting yourself up better than anyone else. It's just being who God made you to be. And others are going to see it. But don't stand there and just shine with your mouth shut. Open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer for that hope that lays in you. What is different about you? I will guarantee you there's somebody in this room who somebody has come up to them since you've dedicated your life to Christ and said, hey, there's something different about you. Open that mouth and tell them who it is. Not just God, generic, it's Jesus Christ. You see, the world doesn't mind you talk about God. They just don't want you to start talking about that Jesus guy. Because you see, still, Satan hates the name of Jesus. You know why? If there were no power in the name of Jesus, would he hate it? There is power in the name of Jesus. And I don't mean like a good luck charm. If you pray in Jesus' name, you'll get your Cadillac. You'll get whatever you want. By the way, you know how I feel about televangelists. The average one is a crook and corrupt and only trying to pad their own pockets. Not all of them. Thank God there's some of them still preaching the word, but not all of us. Some of them are just like, just good folks, just want to get the word out. Thank God for that. Maury Davis out of church out of there in Nashville. He's great, man. He's awesome. There's some others I love to listen to. If I can't come to church, I like to listen to, but you can't listen to all of them. Because what we need is Jesus. Yeah, we're still an American. And when the question is asked, do you still see that star-spangled banner yet wave or the land of the free and the home of the brave? The answer is yes. But how long? How much longer? The conditions around us. There's great prosperity, yes, great darkness, but thank God there's great opportunity. Jesus said, say not, yet there are 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look, the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I told you about my own mama, how that God had dealt with me about getting my family into church when I came back. And I told you the story, how that I invited her to church every week. And she said, no, no, no. And the one Sunday I didn't ask her, guess what she was doing? She was sitting there ready to go, waiting. And God used that to convict her, but I want you to know this. Some of you have given up on some people inviting them. Go back. Stop giving up. Some of you have given up on telling people about Jesus. Don't give up. When it's darkest, the light shines the brightest. God help us to see the conditions around us and understand there's great opportunity, but there's a challenge among us. There's political resistance. You do understand what I'm preaching to you today is not popular. You understand that. You understand if I went just 35 minutes down the road to MTSU and stood on a corner and preached this, I'd be yelled down by the professors and most of the students. You understand that, don't you? You understand in the average university today, they would riot against words like we're speaking this morning and you're hearing and you're reading. So is the flag still waving? Yes, but I'm telling you, we've got a short time. Political resistance is high. Social resistance and political correctness. I'm just going to put it to you this way. Political correctness be hanged. We're living in an age now where it's almost like a children's fairy tale. People don't want to hear nor be told the truth. Have your kids ever made you a mud pie? Did you ever really eat it? No. Yum, yum. Even your child knows better. They're looking at you like, oh, put that in her mouth. But they've been feeding us all kinds of junk and we're just taking it. We're just taking it and paying for it. I'm tired of it. I don't care. You can't even call a midget anymore. No. He's just some kind of challenge. He's a midget. That got you, didn't it? You ain't a midget. Used to be. You're a two-digit midget now. You're bigger. You can't say that. That's politically not correct. Everybody's challenged. I'm not bald. I'm follically challenged, bro. Now, I want you to be real careful. I want you to listen to me. It doesn't give you an excuse to be ugly with people that have disabilities. My nephew has spina bifida. It would burn me up if somebody was really making fun of him. It burned me up. I mean, no account. Your baby boy has Downs, doesn't he? He's precious. He's amazing. And God's got a plan for his life. But we've got to the point now where that's not the issue. The issue is they don't want you telling the truth. And I'm telling you why. Because Satan's against the truth because the truth will make you free. And he does not want people free in the land of the free. God help us to have some home of the brave in us to stand up in the face of that and say, God help and Jesus help the USA. We need it. And we're living in a day, my friend, where you mark my words, there'll come a time when they'll come after this pulpit. You don't think so? They're already locking preachers up in Scandinavia for just preaching the truth about homosexuality. Reading it straight out of Romans chapter 1 and being thrown in jail for hate speech. In Canada, you cannot preach that over their airways. It's considered hate speech. When did we get to a place where we're trying to protect the perverts and let good people suffer for it? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody's trying to turn the lights out on us. And the answer is turn the lights up. Let your light shine. Tell them about Jesus. What was it set you free, Ronald? It was Jesus. What was it set you free, Bud? Who was it set you free, Bud? I'm telling you, it's not changed. The same Jesus that saved you will save others, and it will save our county. It can make a difference. You say, chip, 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 come on. Not everybody's going to believe it. No, not everybody's going to believe it, but I'm going to tell you what. If we could do like good old Private Doss did. As he was fighting in Okinawa on that cliff. And around him, he was a conscientious objector, refused to carry a weapon. And as he was up on that cliff, and he would lower people down by rope, he'd pray this prayer. Just one more, God. Just one more.
help me to get just one more. And he saved almost a third of his unit that had been shot and wounded by the Japanese and lured them over the cliff to help and safety. It's our job to bring the truth to people, help and safety to them. The only one is Jesus. The only one's going to fix is Jesus. We got to bring it to them. You have him. What are you going to do with him? When are you going to tell folks? When are you going to start? Good Lord, it's now is when we need it. Let's do it now. Because you see, not only are the conditions around us bad, the challenge among us is tough. You've got to understand what you're really facing is not just political resistance and social resistance, it's spiritual resistance. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And another version says, "We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." Spiritual forces must be fought with spiritual weapons. And in 2 Corinthians it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." What is our sword? This is our sword. What is your weapons, your armor, and your prayer? I don't know how kneeling down here in just a few minutes during the invitation can get the ear of God, but it does. When you pray right where you're sitting, right where you're standing, I don't know how God hears that and acts, but He does. You say, "I can't do anything. I've got children in my family that are headed for hell." Well, God help you pray for them and pray for our county as badly as you want to see your children saved, wherever they are. God help us. Because you see, the call is actually laying upon us to make a difference. In Jeremiah, we have several verses. You don't need to turn, but just listen if you would. In a series of questions that God sends out to His people, He says, "Does a young woman forget her jewelry? A bride, her wedding ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." How many days passed between you talking to God? Without number? Week? When you're in trouble? How about every day? How about multiple times a day? You don't have to walk around with a halo and do a Gregorian chant and your hands together, but my goodness, you ought to be in a mind of prayer and ask God to help you and show you somebody you can make a difference in Coffee County. And in your life. Because it's a call to personal responsibility, a call to personal repentance. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. You can talk about the Monteruligans all you want, but God wants Chip to turn away from his ways. He wants you to turn away from your evil ways. He said, when you do that, He said, "I will hear from heaven and I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land." God puts it on His people to make a difference. You know why things ain't changing in Coffee County? Because God's people ain't making it change. I'd love to see it start right here. I've already asked God, "God, help it start with Chip. God, help me to be the man that you want me to be." Most men in here that love Jesus want to be good men. Most men, they want to do what's right. Bo Slewfoot doesn't want you doing right. He doesn't want you taking spiritual leadership in your home. He doesn't want you being a man of God in your house, the priest of your property. He doesn't want you doing that. But I've read the end of the book and He doesn't win. We do. So how about turning your life and heart, your money, everything over to God and say, "God, this is all yours. Everything's yours." And trust Him with it. You see, it's also called a personal righteousness. God said in Jeremiah to these same folks, to His people, He said, "Obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you that it may go well with you." Connie Sue, as she opened the book and she read that last verse, I said, "Connie Sue, you're preaching my message, girl." I'll just take it as confirmation. But the answer to what we need, Francis Scott Key, it flowed out into his pen, on that early morning hours in 1814. Listen to what he wrote. Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And by the way, some folks trying to remove that. You might take it off the side of the building, but you ain't taking it out of my heart. Amen? And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to ask Brian if he'll come and play. Verse of invitation song. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Who'd have ever thought that Coffee County